be featured in anime more prominently.
Catnip? I'm sure there are plenty of catnipples in anime.
But is there an anime that is specifically for catnip?
I bet,
catnip?
I bet there is, and I bet its name is a Sonic anime.
Jamie, do you know about Rouge the Bat?
No. What?
Do you know about Rouge the Bat, Griffin?
Speaking of hidden folders on my desktop.
Just type in Rouge the Bat into your search engine, Jamie.
As in, like, Moulin Rouge?
No.
Exactly.
I'm sure that, like, within the first page, you're going to get to some hardcore.
Oh, it's this one. And, okay, let's see.
Oh, things are getting spicy.
I don't really see any. I'm not. Do I have safe search on? This is not.
I'm not seeing any that are naked, but I'm seeing some that are definitely sexualized.
Hold on. Risque, I have safe search on. Rouge. I'm turning safe search off.
Turn that shit off.
Safe search.
Just type in Rouge the Bat and then the number 34.
Just type in 4chan Rouge the Bat.
Yes, that'll really target your search.
Hey, I'm Griffin Hoffman, and this is Boss Barrel, episode 119.
Yes.
We're here to discuss furries. With me are furry experts Jeff Brewer and Jamie Scherer.
I'm more of a journeyman. The land of the furries.
A furry in training.
A furryman?
My interest is piqued.
I'm a yeoman. Yeoman furry.
A furry greenhorn.
I live off the furry land. Self-sustaining furry farmer.
Okay. You don't need to turn off safe search. You just need to keep scrolling.
Yeah, you just keep going. Find it. Just put, like I said, put the number 34 after it and you'll find everything you need.
Why that? Why that number?
Satisfied for a hot 30 seconds.
Let's do it. 30. Oh, no. Oh, wow.
I haven't done the search yet. I'm going to do it right now.
The weirdest thing to me... Oh, God. The weirdest thing to me about this whole situation is that people have other fetishes, but they work it into their fetish for something else. Like, so someone will be like, I really like obese women, and I really like Rouge the Bat. So I'm going to make an obese Rouge the Bat.
Yeah, my favorite fetish of all time is the one where anime girls get eaten by monsters. Mm. Because that's an actual thing.
Does it have like a one yes. word Japanese?
Vore.
What?
V-O-R-E. Just type in vore.
I knew it would be something that would be way too short for what it is. It's always that way. It's like, wow, that sound wasn't used in your language already? Of course. Maybe it has meant that since 900.
Predating anime in general.
There's art from like 2000 BC depicting war.
Rouge the Bat predates Christ.
That's right. It predates language, actually. That's where pictograms. It's
cave drawings.
Yeah, Rouge the Your Bat was actually the Rosetta Stone.
Oh man. Rosetta Stone is apparently like more gamey than I knew, because people know at my school that I like video games, and I also need to know Spanish for what I do. So people are like, you should get Rosetta Stone, and they know I like games, so they're like, it's like a video game, but with your mouth.
Huh. Is it a mouth-based video game?
It's a mouth-based video game. And they're like,
would
yeah,
you qualify you it as a your a?
What?
Would you qualify it as a Yore-based? Do you eat Rosetta Stone?
Oh, it's actually just vore, like carnivore.
Oh, vore, okay.
Yes.
Yore. That was like the French version.
Yore. That's way different. It's way, I can't, yeah, I probably should just edit that out. It's filthy.
Don't edit any of this.
Yeah.
Oh, I never do.
Good.
It would take time and effort.
So I was asking Jeff Griffin, have you heard of this Brothers game?
Oh, you mean that came out this week for the Microsoft's Xbox 360 home console entertainment system?
Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it only Xbox?
Well, right now it's only Xbox, and the release date for Steam and PSN is TBA. which kind of sucks. But it's summer 2013.
Is so that hopefully kicking not- off the summer of arcade?
I don't know. Since I don't own an Xbox 360, I'm kind of out of the loop. But I have
Google it.
I've played a ton of Gears in the last 2 days because it's like the only game that we play in the student lounge.
Gears of War?
What kind of Gears?
Yeah.
Oh.
the one where there's like two tanks and one falls down a ravine or something. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I was really excited because I thought you might be the other person who actually cares about Guilty Gear.
Guilty Gear?
But and you're like, no, yeah, we're just it's in the student lounge. Everybody here is just, you know, really into the soul bad guy lore.
See, no, I learned today that people are into what's that fighting game? The new fighting game that's like Mortal Kombat with superheroes. People love that one.
Injustice, Gods Among Us.
Yeah, that's making the rounds. People are playing that.
I'm surprised that's kind of dying off.
Yeah, I don't know. They have weird tastes. It's like FIFA, Gears, Smash, and this new game.
Oh, so like... you were in college.
Exactly.
Can I just say that when I heard Gears, I was hoping you were referring to Xenogears.
I was hoping that too, Jeff.
That's funny.
You got a great KDR in Xenogears.
There's probably a gear that has the initials KDR.
That's right, yeah. The Gebler KDR backstabber.
Pilot class 5000.
Hatchet throw.
Jehovah.
One winged angel.
Jacinko.
Speaking of fighting games, isn't Dive Kick coming out soon?
Yeah, I think it's... is it September or is it this month? I think it's September, early September.
It says August 20th.
Well, okay, I'm wrong.
But hold on, let me see. It might have gotten delayed.
I don't know. You're probably right. I don't have a date.
How can it get delayed?
I don't know about me.
I don't know.
Oh, they had to add more characters. It got delayed because with the sudden upheaval of the Salty Bet Mugen fighting tournament scene, now they need to, you know, get a little space in the mind share play space of the fighting game tournament scene.
Did you say Salty Mugen?
Salty Bet. Salty Bet. It's a website. Have you heard of this, Jamie?
No. All I heard is Salty Mugen.
Do you guys know what Mugen? Delicious. Mugen is? M-U-G-E-N?
Yeah, I know what Mugen is.
So there's a website called Salty Bet, and if you go there, it is a 24/7 Twitch stream of AI fights in Mugen. And
no Mugen, Jamie?
Well, I'm reading about it now.
Okay. So yeah, it's open source fighter.
Yeah. And people like, you know, rip sprites and craft their own stupid ass characters and put them in there. And then it, you know, they 1v1 each other and it's just AI fights.
Japanese Ronald McDonald is like the most powerful character in that game.
Only rivaled by Colonel Sanders.
Have you seen Japanese Ronald McDonald?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
He has a move that where he just
hamburger,
goes, hamburger,
hamburger,
hamburger, hamburger.
But there's a bazillion, quadrillion, kajiggly, biggly characters in there. Like there is an insane amount of things. So you go into this website, you watch the 24/7 stream, and 30 seconds before the match begins, it's two characters just on screen, and you place your bet. So you bet on who's going to win the match.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How much money are we talking here?
No, real money involved. That's fake money.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Fake salt bucks.
I think it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Trust me.
Oh, do you play, Griffin?
You don't play. I mean, yeah, I play. I don't know. I participate.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So, yeah, there comes this like crazy metagame of like, okay, you think this character is going to win because they look like an actual polished character, but then this weird like derped out chibi little Powerpuff Girl thing like that has only one animation and leaves a clone of itself on screen when it flies away. It just explodes into a super and instantly kills the other guy.
What?
Yeah. So then that sways the whole betting and, you know, you lose your fake money or whatever.
Oh, that sounds compelling, actually. You've sold me.
If you've got hours to kill.
See, for me, yeah, that sounds like perfect for me because I really enjoy watching games played well and like watching AI shit. Like I was,
oh, it's
I wrote
not played our, well, Jeff.
I wrote in our little document that I've actually been watching Final Fantasy Tactics AI tournament that's going on right now on YouTube.
What?
Which is actually really cool. The basic gist of it is that like there's a bunch of ground rules, and you can build a team using like any jobs in the game, and you have certain restrictions and stuff. And then they've devised a way to pit two AI teams against each other. And the AI is so good that they do like crazy shit that the player could never come up with. And people just like watch this stuff for sport.
So,
and like,
awesome. When does Final Fantasy Tactics realize that the winner makes no moves? The to win is to not play.
When does it become self-aware?
Yeah, yeah. When does it reach Whopper status?
I don't know, but it's actually really cool. I think that it just goes to show how important like having this like video angle where like users can share content and stuff like that is going to be, and how important it is right now. And like,
go on. Go ahead.
I was going to say how good it is that both PS4 and Xbone have video streaming built in.
Yes, sounds like fantasy football to me. Like you learn about it and you make your decisions, and then what actually happens you have no control over, and then you get really angry.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's I don't know, something about it is just really fun to watch. I'm very interested in AI systems, so I really like the sound of that.
Jamie. I was just gonna say you said that both 360 or sorry Xbox One and PS4 have video capture things, mm-hmm. but the news broke recently that the Xbox's video capture is only 720, and I don't know if you've ever tried to watch anything in 720, but it's pretty much like watching it's like watching Pong. It's like you can discern maybe like a circle here, a square there. You really can't see anything.
It looks like a dot. It looks like just a couple dots.
So basically, you take cellophane and you wrap it around your screen, and then you're watching 720p. Is what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So you know this is if we needed more evidence, the Xbox One is just doomed to fail.
Correct.
It probably won't sell any units at launch anymore.
No.
They're probably all on fire right now too.
But counteracting that, they boosted the graphics clock. They put the graphics
by
clock on 50 cocaine
megahertz.
And boosted it up by 53 megahertz. So now,
how many more transistors does that add to the whole shebang?
It doesn't at all, because you do that to your own graphics cards without, you know, that I have mine 150 over what they should be. Big deal. What?
It'll give you like an extra couple frames.
Like, it'll give you like a 6% like at most bump, which is really imperceptible.
Yeah.
It's crazy. When you run as a PC gamer who went over the deep end a couple years ago, when you run something like Unigine or some other benchmarking software, or even just the benchmark in a game, what you'll realize is you can get like what is by the numbers a 20% or 25% increase that is really, you can't even see it. There's no like, so you might be going from, you know, 60 to 80 frames per second, but you can't tell. It's like, who gives a crap?
Yeah, it's silly. People get so hung up on this stuff. I did, however.
I think that if you're going from like 40 to 60 frames, you can tell that difference.
Probably. What is that? Would that be a 33%?
No, that'd be a 50%.
Well, I mean, essentially, think of it going from a 30 to a 60 frame. So think of like when you're playing like Halo or something, you're constantly running at 60 frames, or Call of Duty. You know, actually, I don't know if Call of Duty is, but like Halo is at 60 frames per second, and then you play like another shooter or any other, you know, kind of like middle of the road game, and you can definitely tell when the frame rate does slow down and chug.
You can tell, and I think it matters in some games. Like I really do enjoy games that run at 60 FPS. Like if it really like makes things noticeably more fluid, but it's not necessary in every game. And like, I don't know, like I'm okay with the trade-offs being made. And they're going to have to be, because it's already clear that 1080p at 60 frames per second is not going to happen with most modern games.
Right. And as owners of Wii U's, you guys have probably are, you know, pretty used to that by now.
Actually, Nintendo targets 60 frames per second more than most developers. You'd be surprised.
But so, doesn't it only output at 720 and it can't even do like a faux 1080?
No, it outputs at 1080. Oh, okay. Monster Hunter the Wii, wasn't then, right? 1080. The Wii is 480.
480.
Yeah, the Monster Hunter was in 1080, and I think Wind Waker HD might be in 1080. Okay. Let me check that out.
So last time we talked, I told you guys I got my 25-foot HDMI cable. I just got in the mail my 25-foot USB extension cable. So I used to only be able to play games like with a keyboard and mouse on my giant new 60-inch plasma, but now I played Hitman at like 1080p on my plasma, running a 25-foot wire to my computer, and then from my computer to my TV, and it was glorious. It is, it's like so. Even my dad, who just doesn't give a shit, walked by the screen and he said, "I quote, is
turn
that 3D?
Shit off."
No, he was like, "Is that 3D? Nope. 3D on the TV?" I'm like, "No, Dad, you need for that." He's like, "Oh, it looks pretty 3D to me."
No, you have Hitman for the PC, Jamie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Steam sale.
I got it for free on PS Plus yesterday. I played the intro today. It feels pretty fun.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good game. Axel recommended that one. I'm having fun with it. Yeah, I feel kind of like an idiot for buying it on sale, but it was only $7 or something. But
yeah, it looks
pretty PlayStation
good.
Plus.
Hey, well, give those people money; they need it.
Give that. Oh yeah,
they just announced extraordinary losses.
Yeah, stop Square Enix from just whipping the crap out of them.
So sad.
Their sales targets are insane. Did Absolution? I'm sure it missed sales targets.
Yeah,
yeah, everything missed sales targets.
But as we talked about last week, they're at least making a sequel to Tomb Raider. So maybe they're not completely blind. I mean, I would think
no,
that.
No, you're right. But they did announce that sequel in like some weird like side document about earnings and in like a caveat of a footnote or something.
Yeah. Well, it was the comic book guy who like probably shouldn't have talked about it. It's because some guy's writing a comic book, and then he told someone that it's going to lead right up into the next game, and that was the first time anyone had heard about it because some comic book author said that.
I'm just nervous because every time they put out a new quarterly report or like annual fiscal year summary, they're like, "We're going to make a lot more mobile games, guys." And all their mobile games have been so bad. Like All the Bravest.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you guys. You know what else people are playing?
What?
In regular people land is that Square Enix game on your phone. That it's like a card game. Have you guys heard about this?
Is it Dragons and something?
I don't know. But they're all playing it. There's at least 50 people at my school, men, women, who are playing this on their phone. It looks awful. Huh. You literally, it's like RPG-style card combat.
Yep,
But you don't, there's a button you press which says like go on it. And you just literally hold the button and the battle plays out.
Guardian Cross?
Yes!
This game looks so stupid.
I'm thinking of something else then.
Something like that, Guardian Cross. So my friend Shahir was like, "Yeah, you play this game. It's like playing Magic, but because you just have to hold this button, you don't actually need to do anything."
That
and I'm like, "Oh,
awful!"
Isn't it? Okay. Is it not one of those Japanese games that kind of got reprimanded for being basically like a capsule machine in disguise that takes your money and doesn't
like Eye of Vermilion or whatever?
Yeah, where it's like the whole game, the core of the game is you pull this lever and you get this new card and you just hope to get the best new card, but the chances are so stacked against you and they're like, "Hey, do you want to use real money? You should."
Why don't you give us $20?
They had a few RPGs that they were selling for about that much on the store.
Yeah, they overcharge. I'm still going to get Tactics for Android when it comes out.
Yeah. That sounds great to me.
Yeah. It's already on iPad.
Really?
Yep, in high def as well.
Have you played it, or have either of you played it, or read anything about it?
What, on iPad?
About, what's it called? Final Fantasy Tactics on iPad.
I know about it. I mean, it's just War of the Lions ported over with some optimized touch controls.
Okay. Does it still have the audio lag?
No. Slowdown is fixed.
Okay. That's critical.
I'll, Yeah, I'll probably get it. Yeah, that's when I got War of the Lions for PSP and there was the slowdown, I was just like, I can't do it. So yeah. I sold it like immediately.
Oh, it's such a good game though.
I already have it for I have the superior version, which is 1.3, as you know.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Sure. Secret superior version.
It's just it's not that the difficulty isn't even what makes it, because there's actually like an easier version that they put out. It's just they make a lot of rebalances and changes, and they add a lot of new jobs and things. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
I wonder how many people at Square Enix are just solely devoted to just porting FFT over and over and over again.
I don't know. They don't hoard out as much as like Final Fantasy VII or.
Oh, I don't think 7's hoard out at all. That's like the golden child.
Yeah.
I suppose so. Yeah.
The only thing that's hoard out in 7 is just like, hey, this guy, let's make this, give him a Buster Sword or something. I don't know. People like that shit.
I guess Final Fantasy IV is the one that's had like the most ports. That's been on like every system ever.
There's probably a guy there who just monitors the word Buster Sword. And like any time that's mentioned, he has to like archive it and make a note. Like he's at a listening station just waiting to hear that noise and then just scribbles it down in his logbook. They said it again. People want it. I swear they want it.
But then somewhere along the line, somebody interprets Buster Sword to mean lightning. And then we get a Final Fantasy XIII game.
What do you guys think about $16 for HD FFT on the App Store? I think that's pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm gonna pay that money. I mean, I haven't really played it since the original. So
you should do War of the Lions. The voice acting is good, and the re-translated story is coherent.
It's so overdone, though. It went from horrible English or horrible like. Overnight translation to like completely overwrought or not overwrought, completely like over translated, like ye old.
It's very flourishy. Yeah, there's a lot
magic
of...
spelled with a CK.
Hey, it's
Academy
square. It's
spelled
square.
With a K. it's really kind of.
This is coming from the people that made Blizzaga, dude.
Blizzaga? I'm okay with Blizzaga.
Okay.
I've come to terms with Blizzaga.
I've always loved Blizzaga.
I don't know. I had a hard time when they first introduced that.
Or Blizzaga, if you prefer.
I did not. Blizzaga. Anyway, though.
So, guys, speaking about weird crap that Japanese studios are doing. I don't know. I'm trying to see the Google Doc here, but it's. I felt there like that was going to go somewhere. Oh yeah, well there was that Nintendo Direct today,
where they announced all of like one thing.
Yep.
They announced the Layton versus Phoenix Wright game is coming.
Wow.
They showed some footage.
Oh wait, you guys! I came up with something. I had a dream.
Yeah.
Okay. And in my dream, I literally solved all of Nintendo's problems.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I personally, with this idea that I'm about to share with you.
Are you sure you want to share this?
I'm going to share it because in New Jersey, intellectual property is very well enforced. So I think I think I'm good. But
I'll just send this podcast to you in a sealed envelope. for the time
I think
span.
That if. If Nintendo released the game that I'm about to tell you guys about, they would sell approximately 100 billion Wii U's in one day.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it boob touching?
Is it Sega Gaga?
No. You guys have no idea what's coming. So bear with me, okay? It's a Wii U exclusive, and it's actually the first game.
Is it Excel?
On Wii U. It's voxels. No.
Minecraft.
It's the first game on Wii U to really take advantage. It's going to really take advantage of those two screens, right? It's going to take advantage of the phablet in a way that Nintendo couldn't even have dreamed of. So here's the game. Okay, so and it's going to cost $60. It's going to be a full $60 game. So
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay, I'm glad you are. So imagine like Okay, think pilot wings, right? Just think of pilot wings exactly. But
okay,
not
I'm
like a
not
new
to throw up.
Not like a new fancy version of pilot wings, just like straight up Nintendo 64, no changes whatsoever, pilot wings, okay?
Okay.
That's on the bottom screen,
throw
right?
It out
that's
the
on
window.
Your
oh, no,
no,
okay.
No. No, that is playing on the bottom screen. Mm-hmm. Okay? That is playing and you are controlling that on the bottom screen. On the top screen, okay, on your TV, is Star Fox 64. But not like a cleaned up version of Star Fox 64. Just like a shitty, old, same resolution version of Star Fox 64. Okay? And what happens is, what you do, you control both games simultaneously. Okay? So what you do with your pilot wings guy happens on your TV with Star Fox. And you have to beat the game. You have to beat both games. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
I think that's brilliant. That's actually been done with some tool-assisted speedruns. Actually,
I just actually pre-ordered. I just Amazon ordered a Wii U. It'll be here in 2 days, which is not fast enough.
Are you understanding me though? Like, you would have to be like while you're flying through rings and pilot wings, you would have to be flying through the same but different rings.
So it's the same inputs in both games.
The same inputs in both games, but you don't change the level design of either game.
Yeah.
So you have this give and take of which one do you prioritize as being the game that needs your attention at the moment?
Well, no. You just need to beat them both simultaneously.
With the same presses.
Yeah, you need to find a way to beat both games simultaneously. That's the challenge.
That's, as I was starting to say, that's actually, there are several tool-assisted speedruns, most of them centering around Mega Man games, where the same set of input beats like three different Mega Man games. There's one of Mega Man X, X2, and X3 all beaten by the same exact set of inputs.
I want to see that.
I'll link you guys after the video. It's awesome.
Okay.
Also, I think their solution is just to make another Mario platformer. Just a 2D, just another new Super Mario Brothers.
I thought, Jamie, you were going to say something like you take like the pilot wings, you put it on the screen, and then your TV is like, it's like air traffic control. So like you have to look at your screen to pilot your individual little helicopter, gyrocopter bullshit, and then you're flying around the world. But then you're also having to look at this, like constantly look up at this larger screen to make sure you don't collide with other like Nintendo Wii Universe players.
See, that's an actual good idea.
Yeah,
that
sorry.
That's an actual good idea. In my dream, the reason why this was such like a revolution in gaming was because everyone's played Pilot Wings and Star Fox 64.
But Jamie, Pilot Wings 64 sucks.
I love that game.
No, it's a bad game.
But no one knew that you could beat both games with the same input. So now that they're doing this, it's like playing the Pink Floyd album backwards while watching what's that movie?
Hey, I've got an idea, Wizard of Oz, but I've got a better idea. How about you on one screen it plays Wizard of Oz and on the tablet it plays Pink Floyd backwards.
What about if they made a peripheral where you had to turn the record yourself?
You don't need a peripheral. It's a touchscreen. Circle it back with your finger while you're watching it.
Guys, I've got it. They need to bring the vitality sensor
and
back.
Then you smoke your 3DS.
They canceled it too soon.
I love how those don't even work for me in hospitals. And Nintendo was like, hey, check this thing out.
They actually finally canceled it like a month ago. At E3, I think they were like, okay, we're not going to make the vitality sensor after all.
That sweat-based controller for the PS4 wasn't going to work anyway, so...
Oh, Nintendo.
So there was a Direct this morning, and the only things they announced a game, a Famicom game from 92, an obscure top-down shooter in their virtual console. They announced Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright coming to America.
Was that not already known to be coming out in America?
I don't think, I think Azran Legacy was known, but I don't think Layton versus Phoenix Wright was known, although I could be wrong about that.
Is that not Dual Destinies?
That's
confused?
Not Dual Destinies.
That's two Phoenix Wright games. Is that true? Dual Destinies is like your Phoenix Wright and your like other Phoenix Wright? I think,
yeah, you're the other dude. Okay. Apollo. No, not Apollo Justice.
Apollo 13.
Yeah. So, and then
Ed Harris just wants this mission to go well.
They also showed more footage of Link Between Worlds, which somehow looks good now. I don't know. Yeah, it looked really cool.
I've been in from the beginning.
I liked how the enemies like flipped over when you hit them and shit. Like there was a lot of character that they seemed to add to the world, and the music sounded a lot better. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I was surprised by how reverent it was to Link to the Past, and you know, in the first videos they showed off, I was like, oh, okay, this looks like stupid new Mario.
Yeah, thing. It looked really plasticky.
Yeah, and this looks more lush, I guess. Yeah. And then the wall walking mechanic actually, I think, looked pretty cool too. Not it devastatingly game breaking like I thought it would be initially.
Yeah. Also, for whatever reason, the jaggedness of it, the roughness of it, actually enhanced my attraction to the game.
Yeah.
Like when it was too aliased or anti-aliased, it just, like I said, just looked very plasticky. So yeah. I'm glad that it looks a little rougher now.
That's right. More Minish Cap, less Donkey Kong.
Yes. That's exactly. And then they showed Wind Waker, which looks fun. I'll probably just buy it.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks really cool. And I thought it was really funny because Iwata made a comment about where Wind Waker fit on the series timeline, which was like, they've resisted the series timeline for so long. And like, I can just tell they're just like, please buy Wind Waker. Please buy the series timeline.
Is Pikmin not selling well? Sorry, Griff.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, is Pikmin not selling well? Do we know that?
It just came out, so I don't think we know yet.
But didn't you tell me that it's not selling well? Or someone else told me. No, that's fine. Maybe they didn't know.
I think we think it won't sell well because it's kind of niche.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's Nintendo. They'll probably sell at least 2 million copies of, oh, no, they won't, not on the Wii U, but they'll probably sell a fair amount of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not
going to. Did you get it?
Not yet, no. I'll probably get it eventually.
But. And I didn't get it either. There's the problem right there.
It looks so pretty, though. I don't really like RTS-style games.
Yeah. <That's the problem. laughs> I mean, yeah. I want to buy it just so that Nintendo lives. Like, I literally won't play it.
I mean, they're not going to die.
I know they're not going to die.
Yeah. I understand. I want the Wii U to do well. So.
There's a Dreamcast in the student lounge, and I'm haunted by it. It's haunting me. Yeah.
Dude, you got to play it.
We do.
Oh, that's so cool. Do you guys have the virtual memory units?
Jet Set Radio.
Do you have the hilarious memory cards with the streaks on them?
Yes. That's so cool.
I can't find my Hyrule Historia.
With
the timeline.
You need to update it.
I think it's when they announced A Link Between Worlds. I may have just thrown it away. It's like, this ruins everything!
they freely admitted, they're like, yeah, we don't really know. And now they're like, yeah, the series timeline.
Of course.
It's laid out. They have a timeline. Actually, before they're like, we have a timeline, but it's secret.
We have a timeline, but we don't really care about it, and we will break it any moment.
Have you seen it? It's like, it has three different like points of separation in it.
Divergence.
Yeah,
I've looked at it. I mean, it seems like they just kind of...
It's bullshit.
Did it after the fact.
It's even more bullshit than a video game timeline should be bullshit.
Like, who gives a shit, honestly? Why are you so desperate to connect to these worlds?
Well, this Link is the great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter of that old Link.
I think it's just people who can't tolerate any amount of ambiguity or like unresolved threads in there. Like, I think Zelda fans are just crazy.
Yes.
But diehard Zelda fans are like, we need to know everything.
Yep.
Is this canon? Is this canon? This game?
Exactly. it's a sad thing.
No, Jamie, this is Ganon canon.
Oh.
Damn it.
So they showed those, and they showed, they announced for the Wii U the hot new software title, Animal Crossing Plaza,
which
I downloaded it today, and it's cute. I mean, you know, you can link up with Miiverse. It's like them lurching towards integration between the 3DS.
Racial integration?
And the Wii, yes. Integration between the
yeah, that's right. That's right. No, no more. It's only KK sliders. No more KKK sliders.
Didn't they also announce today you can swap .avi your street passes? Is that what they announced?
That came out as well. The street pass relay thing, which is just if you go to a place that has a Nintendo Zone hotspot set up, you can get the last street pass out of there. So you don't have to walk. It helps people like Griffin and me.
Where are these places going to be? Walmart? Where are these?
Pretty much McDonald's and Starbucks.
Yeah, I'm hoping they're going to be at the same places that allow you to drop your UMDs off and exchange them for digital copies, so I can put them on my PSP Go.
No, I've actually seen some Nintendo Zones. They have them at airports. They're actually really cool. You can connect to them without configuring your Wi-Fi. Huh. You just click the button and you can play over the internet for free, which is pretty neat. But anyway, so the interesting thing about the Animal Crossing Plaza is you can take stuff off your 3DS and upload it to Miiverse, but the process is like so utterly Nintendo clunky that it's just hilarious, because you have to make sure your 3DS's power is off, then you have to remove the SD card from your 3DS and insert it into your Wii U. Then you have to take the photos off of your SD card, upload them to your photo album in the Animal Crossing Plaza, and then you can attach them.
Wow.
Universe posts. It's like the most ridiculous system. I don't understand it.
That is the worst. That is even worse than their fake Twitter integration with no multitasking.
Oh, my God. You can... They let you post shit to like Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook, but the way you do it is you go into the browser and you go to a web link, like a hyperlink, and then you have to literally like hit the home button, open the browser, and then click the link, and then up.
Use AOL keyword.
Yeah.
So oh my god.
Utterly ass backwards. But there's I was going to say, there's going to be a wonderful 101 direct on Friday, and I'm really excited.
So we all know this at this point. There's some Japanese cultural thing going on, right? There's like, I see it when I play Ni No Kuni. It's like, do you want to do this? Do you really want to do this? Let me explain this to you in 1,000 different ways. It's like, I feel like it's a very Japanese approach. Mm. Like, they almost want there to be multiple points along the way where you can have a crisis of conscience and decide not to post this thing to Twitter. And I feel like it's something we don't understand as Western people. Like, we live in a world where you press one button and you've bought it.
Yes.
Like, that's the world I live in. Right.
Or I think the different
accidentally buys the Washington Post.
I think more aptly, yes. Jamie, it's like we live in a world in the West where it's like you press one button and you're just like, all my drunk pictures go on the Facebooks and the Tumblrs and the Instagrams, which, you know, I do this because I live in the West. But that is like a foreign concept, which I think ties into the cell phone culture of Japan, where cell phones aren't smartphones. They are basically text reading cell phones. So now, you know, they've made the leaps forward where like smartphones are the hottest and newest and make the most sense, but they still live in the mentality, not of the computer age, but of an age where basically shitty computers that were mobile were the standard. So it's like you have the glimmer of hope of that technology of what it could be, but it is never realized like it was realized in the West.
They
now
still
they
love
are trying
like,
to catch up.
Yeah. They still love like BBS over there.
Yeah.
I was gonna say the funny thing is they give you so many opportunities to back out of like selections to post on Twitter or do whatever, like, you know, do that attack. But then when it comes to like moral choice in an RPG, like Griffin and I were playing Mother 3, they give you so many false choices where if you hit no, then it's exactly the same as hitting yes.
Right. It's like, hey, can I follow you? And you're like, yes. And it's like, okay, he follows you. He's, hey, can I follow you? You say no, and he still follows you. But then you get to this point in the game and it's like, you need to pray before you leave. And I'm like, no. And they're like, no, you have to pray before you leave. Like, no, like, you don't understand. You have to pray before you leave.
Listen to the bat. The bat says you have to pray or there's going to be a problem.
Whatever you say, Mr. Bat.
Isn't that where the fourth wall is broken in that game?
Yes.
Yeah.
When Mr. Bat convinces you to join Orthodox Judaism.
No, they're like, what's the name of the person playing the game?
Oh, okay, yeah.
They do that a couple times, though. They're like, hit the R button.
What came out first, Eternal Darkness or Mother 3?
I think Eternal Darkness, pretty sure.
Wow. Eternal Darkness was 2002.
That was developed by a Western studio, though.
Yeah,
I was just thinking of that because that was the first game that I can remember where they really broke the third wall in like amazing ways.
You should play this game called Metal Gear Solid. It's pretty good.
But I mean, like, I mean, completely, I agree with you 100%. But I don't remember in MGS like having like the fake system freeze. Did they do that?
Yeah, in the Psychomantis fight.
Fucks you a lot.
I see you like playing Castlevania.
Yeah.
Put your controller on the ground.
Well,
now
no.
Step away. I will make it levitate.
That was in Twin Snakes, which was actually also done by
Silicon Knights.
By Silicon Knights, yeah.
Yeah.
Same people.
Yeah. So, well, okay, then it was Snake, you need to change the controller from the slot A to the slot B.
Yeah, and they also Meryl's codec frequency is on the back
of the CD case. Correct.
Yeah. Did we lose Jamie?
Maybe he was in so much shame for not realizing that he was been playing fourth wall breaking games from the beginning of time.
I'm gonna hang him up and then call him again.
All right. So I've been playing some Metal Gear Solid actually. And
oh, for real, the first one?
No, Metal Gear Solid 4. And that's because so my stepson Hunter, I was like, I should get him to play awesome games, or at least like I feel like it's my duty to try and have him try new things. So I told him I'd pay him $20 if he finished Metal Gear Solid 4 without skipping any cutscenes.
Oh my god.
And this was about a year ago over the summer. Like I gave
and
him
how
three
old is your son again?
He was I think 11 at the time. It was last year during the summer.
That's a tall order.
It is and it isn't. I mean, there's a lot to that game, but it's also like a lot of anime bullshit.
Yeah.
So he ended up playing about halfway through it and kind of getting bored. But now recently he's been playing it again and just like messing around, shooting guys, you know, getting guns and kind of just occasionally paying attention to the story and running through it. So he and I have been swapping on and off. Playing that game. And I see it has trophy support now. So that really makes me want to grab it and play it from start to finish.
Get that platinum?
No, I don't want the platinum. I just want to... I just want to play it again because, you know, it's a great game. And two, having some trophies for it would be pretty rad.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it when I first played it. I found that when I tried to replay it, I might have been too soon, but when I tried to replay it, the cutscenes really... they really got me.
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, they're just too overacted.
Yes. And there's just so much like there's so much silence that's not well used. Uh-huh. And it's just like, they just really drag. But yeah, I mean it did so many cool things. It was like the split screen and all the crazy stuff and the microwave hallway.
The return to Shadow Moses.
Yeah, even though I have major problems with the actual gameplay of Shadow Moses.
Oh, you do?
Because it's all AI.
What do you mean it's all AI?
It's all machines.
Like your opponents?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're not as fun to play against as humans, in my opinion.
Sure.
I wanted the whole game to play roughly like the first area and the second area. And I was disappointed when... I mean, I like the third chapter as an interlude, but I was disappointed when chapters 4 and 5, in terms of actual gameplay, did not really, in my opinion, measure up to the first two.
Okay, just because they didn't have, like, the human AIs, you didn't like the robots?
No, I didn't really like the robots. And then the fifth chapter was kind of like...
Bananas. Yeah.
Just a giant room.
Yep.
And then boss fights.
Human rocket launchers.
Oh, God. And if you alert in the fifth chapter, you just lose.
You're fucked. Yeah. Well,
there's no way.
You don't. You can get through there. I've done it. It's just really hard.
Really? Because I found that if you alert, you can't open the door.
Oh, but then maybe you have to wait till it goes down?
I think there's no way to get out of the alert, though, because the dudes keep coming and coming.
Hmm. Okay. Well, in my journey into playing from start to finish and acquiring as many trophies as possible in one playthrough of Metal Gear Solid 4, we shall see. I will find out.
Yeah, do let me know. I'm very curious to see if I'm on the money about that or not.
I don't know when I'm going to have time to do this, but I'm going to make it happen.
At least, unlike Jamie, you're not just going back into med school. So
yeah. Is Jamie there?
I'm still trying to get a hold of him.
Okay. I was going to ask him things about college life that I learned today that are really weird, but I'll save it.
Yeah, save it. Yeah. Just bust it out when he comes back.
I'll tease it right here. You ever heard of a fracket?
A fracket? Is that like a...
I don't want to say. I'm just... Like, that's right. That's... I just... Fact? Nope. I just pass it out. We'll see what Jamie has to say about that when he gets back.
All right. You've piqued my interest.
Good.
You put a little bit of the food on the taste bud. Okay. Now I want the rest of it.
Or maybe you just smell the cheese of the trap. Which way is it going to go, Jeff? Is this going to lead to some horrible 4chan sub-thread?
I can't believe you got Jamie to look up Rule 34.
Video games and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, speaking of salacious imagery.
Yeah, totally.
Dragon's Crown.
Yeah.
Have you played any yet?
I have played roughly 5 hours.
Nice. Have you unlocked online?
Yes. Just moments ago.
I just saved Liu Kang. How close am I?
Which one's Liu Kang?
The wizard?
Oh, you're maybe 2 hours out.
Okay, that's not bad. Do you like it?
Hell yeah, I love that game.
Yeah, it's a fun little game. It's not quite as tight as like Turtles in Time in terms of, you know, brawler wonderness.
I felt that initially too, but I kind of got used to it.
Yeah. It definitely takes a little getting used to. But who are you maining right now?
I am playing as Amazon
nice.
Prime.
That ass.
Yep.
It's so ridiculous.
What's that?
The butt is so big.
Yeah, it's humongous. She is ridiculous. What character are you playing as?
I'm the elf right now. Okay. I'm really liking her, although I kind of want to try out some other characters too. I like that it lets you have as many as you want.
I am getting to the point now where I would like to try out other characters, but the only one that I care about besides the Amazon is the elf, because I think being a ranger would be fun.
Yeah, I want to try the sorceress because I understand that she can have pets and she can turn enemies into frogs and shit. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, essentially it's just like adding another stupid AI companion to your squad.
And the AI companions are really annoying.
Yeah, they are pretty... The thing that I... Okay, it's a great game. Having so much fun with it. One thing that I noticed is I went back to play some of the earlier levels again to do some of the quests, because they have side quests that, like, you know, you retrek back to locations you've been to before and you fulfill a weird little requirement. I went to one and I was like, I'll do this by myself. And I'm playing through it, and then just random AI people started jumping into my game as if it were a real online game.
Yeah, that was interesting. I kind of like that.
I do not like that.
I if there's a way to disable it, I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could dismiss everyone.
But they're not from your party. Like, it's like...
Oh, they're not?
No, they're just dudes. Like, they were like level 2 dudes jumping into my, you know, level 7...
Are you for real? Because the one time that happened to me, it was someone from my roster.
Oh, huh. Well,
was it someone you rezzed?
Now you're making me think. Maybe it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, probably was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If that's automatic, I hope it doesn't happen in online play. Is all I have to say.
I played one online match and I had a great time with it. But I can't speak to the details. Like, I don't know now if my gates are open and I can constantly be joined by other people while I'm playing the levels. But as soon as it enables online play, it's like, hey, do you want to play online? Yes, no. And then it's like you go to yes, and it's like, okay, join room, random room, let's go right now. And it's really fast matchmaking. Like it worked awesome. Really well.
Yeah, I was a little worried about the infrastructure because I know that, you know, Sony's online is okay, but mm-hmm. not like unbelievable. But yeah, I'm excited to play that together. I'd like to go questing for some fat loots.
Yeah, fat ass fat loot.
I have to say I was.
You want that?
What's that?
Nothing.
Okay. I was ready to not be bothered by the like giant boobs and huge asses, but I kind of am a little bit. I don't like that when you go into the magic shop, it's like every time just like giant boobs.
Yeah. Pop out book pendulous breasts.
Yeah, it's like I want it to be like no big deal, but they just take it a little bit too far.
Right.
Even like your fairy is like all naked in the chalice when you go to the tavern, and I'm like, did you have to do that? Like, mm-hmm. it's just too much.
What up? Give me
hey.
One sec.
What?
I think he's speaking from a culvert or the future.
Where we're going, we won't need wheels or whatever. What's the line? Shit, I don't even know.
I think it went something like this. Hamburger. Hamburger.
So, Jamie, we were just starting to talk about Dragon's Crown.
We were just starting to get incensed about Dragon's Crown.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, breasts.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. It's as good a time as any to talk about
Thunder
that
thighs.
Whole controversy and what we all think about it.
I want to talk about that. First, I want to tell you that my mom didn't remember that the new router was a router, so she unplugged it to plug in her computer.
And then she summoned you downstairs and said, why can't I go online?
Why can't I go online? What is this box? Why does it have antennas coming out? Is this the Russian mafia's
it's almost like,
spying on us?
It's almost like she never lived through the era of dial-up. Almost.
Dragon's Crown. Have you guys played it?
We both have it.
Yep.
So you've played it.
Yes.
Played it.
Yes.
So I haven't. So you tell me. How boobies are the boobies?
They're pretty boobies.
They're all the way. 11.
Now, the boobies are turned up to 11.
Like, is it so much that it interferes with your enjoyment of the game?
Well, I was going to ask Jeff you a question just before Jamie hopped on. I was going to say, have you done the like the significant other test? Have you had this moment yet?
Where, like, Jessica watches me play?
Where you're playing this game and then your significant other, who is a lady, comes into the room and you're like,
so,
oh, God, how do I feel right now?
When I pre-ordered the game, I got an art book with it. Uh-huh. And the art book has some really funny pictures in it, one of which is the sorceress eating like fruit, and she's eating like a piece of melon or something, and the it's like cantaloupe.
You need to talk slower.
It's dripping a sticky substance onto her boob.
Slow down. Restart that whole sentence. Say it slower.
Is this so you can finish what you're doing?
No. I'm fine. Just gonna turn my mic down here for a second.
So anyway, so one of the pictures in there was this sorceress with what was, I guess, supposed to be like semen on her boobs. And I was like, hey Jessica, look at this art book. And she was like, wow, that's hilarious. She was like, Jeff, are you gonna take that upstairs? So I think she's okay with it. And I already showed her. There's one of the funny things, Jamie, in the game. So there's this shop you literally go to after every single mission to repair your shit and like buy new items. And when you walk in the shop, you're greeted by this woman wearing this like unbelievably small bikini, and her boobs are huge.
Right, she looks like a Super Bowl halftime show.
And they're like idly swaying and jiggling as her still portrait just sits there. Her boobs are just idly moving around. Mm-hmm. It's really hilarious.
Right. If she were a pop-up book, there would be a tab on the side that said pull to jiggle.
So, so there's that. The characters, it's like kind of funny because they're all like completely larger than life, like fill the entire screen, look ridiculous. But it is just like pushing it constantly to the point that it's like, it doesn't upset me, but I think it knocks the game down maybe like a peg.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about when you're just playing it?
Do the boobs get in the way? No, by no means do they.
No. I just mean, like, are you so discouraged and disgusted that when you're playing it, you can't stop thinking about it?
No, not at all.
No. Okay. No. Like I was saying, like, I think that it's only awkward when you're like, okay, there are other people around that you need to demonstrate this to, and you're like, so this one's got this is the game that has the giant, you know, boobs and stuff in it, and it's like weird. But it's like
oh, this is this great brawler. I mean, it has these giant like boobs and asses in it, but it's really good. Right. Like you have to qualify it all the time.
Right. You show somebody Mario and they're like, "Oh, it's cute and he's like a little chubby, you know, dude with a mustache, and it's a great platformer, but this you're like, it's a fantastic side-scrolling beat 'em up brawler just like you love from the arcades, and now it's just in super high definition with giant cans and booties."
you always have to add that little caveat at the end, like, "Yeah, it has like, you know, unbelievably ridiculous to the point of being a little embarrassing fan service and jiggling boobs, but it's great."
So is it meant to be played with more than just yourself?
Yes, it's co-op.
Are you guys playing together?
Well, not yet because, you know, design decisions.
Yeah, they gate online. You can't get online until like 5 to 6 hours in.
What?
Yeah, so Griffin unlocked it, but I haven't unlocked it.
Yeah, you have
it.
To play with your fake AI online companions for... people say half the game, but I don't know if it's half the game. It can't be, like...
I doubt it.
It's taken me about 5 hours, roughly, and it's probably less just because of idle time, to get to a point where it's like, hey, online's open now, and kind of everything is now open in the game at large.
Yeah, I'm guessing if I'm only 2 hours out, I've probably only been playing like an hour and a half. So it probably only takes whenever people are reviewing games, they always inflate the amount of time shit takes. So I'm guessing that it probably will only take like 3 to 4 hours.
Sure. And if it's supposed to be a 20-hour game, you know, if I'm 5 hours in and I'm at the halfway point, then yeah I'm not that good by any. That's something is wrong there. So
yeah. Yeah, but it's really fun, Jamie, and I'm doing the elf, which is like a ranger class, and I'm having a lot of fun with it, and it's got some interesting mechanics.
And
like,
easily the most modest class.
Yes, yeah, she does not. I was thinking about doing some of the less modest class, but I just happened to go with her because I tend to like range. So, but yeah, it seems really fun, and I want to try out different play styles, and it's
worth
up to four
60
players.
Bucks?
It's 50 actually.
Oh, okay, yeah. Worth $50. Yes, you're saying yes, it is. I should go get this game.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean,
yeah, I would say I by no means regret my purchase. I'm really happy with the price I paid, and I think that, you know, if it were $60, I'd still do it. I think that the $10 cheaper is nice. I wish it was cross-buy. I think that would be the only thing that would really sweeten the pot to make it like an unresistible deal for a Sony fan.
Yeah, because I wish I could, because there's this weird mechanic where you have to use the right stick to select treasures and have someone else open them for you, and I really wish I could just touch the screen on the Vita and do it. that's the one thing I regret.
Yeah, you have to use a cursor on the screen to like send your like NPC companion to unlock chests or to pop extra score trinkets on the screen, and on the Vita, you know, you just touch the screen, but on the console version, you have to use this fake cursor.
But I got the console version for you.
Thanks.
You.
I'm actually getting really good at the cursor, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Right.
What were you saying, Jamie? Sorry.
I think I might grab it this weekend then.
Yeah, you should. I would really enjoy playing with both of you guys.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about it. So you play, half the game, maybe not half, by yourself with NPCs, and then you have the second half to play with friends. And what happens when you beat that? What can you guys do together after that?
Well, I think you just go. I mean, Griffin's farther than me, but it seems like you play all these levels, and then you get to just run through the levels with the harder enemies and different layouts, Griffin. Or maybe there's like a big level at the end.
Sorry, I missed the question.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Oh, sorry. like, so you play the game half by yourself or roundabout, then half with buddies. But then Griffin, like, is there a new game plus with friends? Like, what can you do after you beat the game?
I don't know what you do after you complete the complete game. I think it just jacks the difficulty up to the next level, and it's like a Devil May Cry DMC style difficulty change, where it's not just like you pump up the numbers for the enemies or throw more dudes in there. They have different attributes now, so like the enemy is maybe more challenging because now they cast magic that buffs certain traits of theirs, and you have to manage guys differently on screen. So the behavior changes as well as just the overall number difficulty.
And let me ask you guys this. So I just finished Guacamelee last week or 2 weeks ago or something. I love that game. Absolutely love it. But I played Dust and Elysian Trail for a couple hours, and I really didn't like that game.
Me either.
And I
haven't played Dust.
Is this
Jeff? You'll love it.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is this game like? Is it like Guacamelee? Like, what kind of stuff are we talking?
It's like Golden Axe.
Yeah, it's like Turtles in Time, except with RPG elements and like a light Dungeons and Dragons style story and flavor to it.
It's a Diablo
So I'm not going to be memorizing combos.
Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far to say it's not like, I guess memorizing combos. Not like a Mortal Kombat game where you're like, okay, XXX, no. Box, triangle, circle, quarter circle, time, hold first. It's not like a dial-a-combo thing. It's a lot more fluid, but the more you play, the more you kind of get a rhythm for your move set that your character has. And you will be doing combos in the game, most definitely. It's just like there's not a combo screen that's like, this is the most optimum way to play as the Amazon. It's like you'll discover how to do what you want to do.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
The hardest like inputs that the game will like give you are like down square. it's not.
So not even Guacamelee level, because Guacamelee was like light in terms of combos.
I would say no more difficult to do as a virtuoso than Guacamelee. Just slightly different in that, like Griffin said, it more emphasizes understanding the rhythm, like getting a feel for like your six or seven different abilities and then kind of combining them all harmoniously.
So I mean, in that way, I guess it is like Guacamelee, where, you know, by the end of that game, you're having to chain the few moves you have together in crazy banana patterns. Oh God.
When I'm working, I want that kind of game. And when I'm like not working, sitting on my ass because I got the summer off, like that's when I want to get into the Ni No Kunis of the world. But then when I have work to do, it's like I can't even imagine coming home and spending that much time with a game. Because if I turn on Ni No Kuni, that's 6 hours gone.
Yeah, it's exhausting when you have like shit to do. It's hard for me to play RPGs or any console game. It's hard for me to play.
Dragon's Crown is definitely that game that you can kind of do it in bite-sized portions. However, you know, they have mastered that, like, they've mastered the baiting.
Can that please be the title of your review?
Masturbator.
Well, it has that fantastic flow to game design, where you finish 11, you're like, yay, things are exploding, and it's like Peggle Knights all up in this bitch. I just got a college degree because I beat the level and it played Ode to Join. I'm the smartest person ever, and I got this shiny new axe. And then immediately when you get out of that area, it's like, now you have more things to do. You should go here. And then in your mind, you're like, I got to go do bang, 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 bang. And it's just like, it just keeps pushing you forward to the next thing that you have to do.
Yeah, there's actually this like narrator, which is actually a really cool little feature that I kind of like. And he tells the story, you know, like, you sit across from your friend Ranny and blah, blah, blah. But then after every mission, he's like, you need to go here, which as Griffin said, really, like, it's like, I can't quit. I have to go see Wallace at the castle.
Yeah. It's both annoying and also brilliant game design because, yes, you know, it keeps repeating itself too. So you're also just like, okay, thanks. I remember where I need to go now. But it's also like, okay, shut up. Shut up, narrator man. Like, please. And you can turn it off, but it's like, you know, you keep playing the game to make him just be quiet.
I really like it. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do when I go to the GameStop and I buy this game? Like, should I just, like, keep my eyes down when the guy gives it? Like, what did you guys do?
You should. Oh, I didn't have any shame.
I think you should go as Rouge the Bat.
I thought you were talking about getting yelled at for not pre-ordering.
No, I'm never going to that guy again. I have, like, PTSD about that.
You should ask if they have any copies of the art book left and then show them the picture of the melon juice on the girl's boobs.
There are still some definitely, like... Okay, so, you know, in the dungeons that you play through, in the levels, you'll get to, like, a midway... kind of chapter break. It's not exactly midway, but it's like, you know, something happens and you know, an event appeared, and it gives you this little backstory about what's happening in the location you're in, kind of tells you this little story. And sometimes the things are cute, like it's a little mouse guy, and he just wants you to find his friend. Or it's like, oh, this is giant nasty orc lady, and she's gonna cleave this meat. And then this other time, it's a mermaid with giant bazangas that are barely in the water, and she's got a butt.
We all know it's
that's
there.
That's the quest.
No, that's butt. That's it's just a full. It's a butt. It's
a merbutt, if you will.
So the mer part, the fish part, doesn't begin at the waist, because that means she wouldn't have a butt. The fish part happens after the butt, so it looks like she just has a fish coming out of her, and it's horrifying.
The good news, Jamie, is that the box doesn't really have anything particularly boobalicious on it.
What do you mean the good news? This is all good news.
No, I'm saying, so you can go into the store and buy it without any shame, unless they know what it's about.
This is what's going to happen when I go into the store. I'm going to think ahead of time. Like, I'm going to be cool. You know, it's just a game. I love games. I don't care. Whatever. But then I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be like, yeah, my friend wants this game. My brother's friend.
Here,
really,
Jamie,
wants this
you can
game.
Do what I did and just download it.
Or 500 gig PS3.
500.
Yeah. And it's only like 1.3 gigs, so it takes seconds.
Did you guys see the 250 gig slim that comes with Move and four games?
Or 230.
And for 230 and a year of PS Plus? I was pretty pissed off about that, actually.
Let it go.
What?
Let it go.
Mine's white. Okay,
just go give your PS3 a hug.
That white PS3 is probably amazing. I want to see it.
It's beautiful. You'll see it.
Jamie, I had some advice from you. You should get two copies of COD and then sandwich Dragon's Crown between them and pretend like it accidentally got in there and be like, oh, I might as well buy it.
That's okay.
I think you should just go full on weirdo and like do a Dragon's Crown double down and just get three copies of Dragon's Crown sandwiching and be like, there's not enough boobies.
This one's going to get crusty real fast. Oh, man. Yeah, okay, I'm going to get that. I might also get that Ibn Ob game that you're talking about, Jeff. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm got the hankering for something I can play with my lady friend. And Griffin, have you heard about Ibn Ob at all?
I've only heard it in passing. It never... Go ahead.
Yeah, it never really spoke to me that much either, but it's gotten some buzz. I think I'll probably pick it up.
It's pretty.
Yeah, I traded in my old 3DS and a couple other things. I got like $100.
Yay.
And I turned some of it into PSN credit. So
wait, what did you do?
I bought, I used my...
No, what do you, go back. What did you do with your old 3DS?
Traded it in.
What?
Yay!
Don't think that we're actually talking to Jeff right now.
I traded in my PS2, my
I know.
Cube.
I'm riding you a little bit. It's hard to trade in stuff though.
It is hard to let it go, yeah.
Dude, you traded in your GameCube?
I did trade in my Cube.
Why?
I just did. It's a beautiful little system, but
it has a handle.
I wanted to cut back. I know it has a handle. It's the coolest little lunchbox you ever did see.
Mm-hmm. Every console needs a handle.
Yeah, so I used some of my trade credit to literally just buy PSN cards because fuck giving my money to GameStop. I'm just gonna buy. I mean, I am giving my money to them, but you know, I don't want to. I'd rather do it this way. So I bought a couple PSN cards.
It's on my terms, GameStop.
Yeah. So I have like $16 left. So I might pick up Ibn Ob for free and see how it plays.
I have a question for you guys. What is the optimum platform to get the DuckTales remastered game on?
I might get it for PS3 just because I can get a discount.
I'm kind of thinking the same thing, but I feel like it's more at home on the 3DS.
Is it on the 3DS?
I think so. I thought that's where it was initially announced.
I feel like it'd be a waste on the 3DS because you're giving up. It's going to be low resolution. I mean, not that that's a huge deal, but you know, that's part of the allure.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Let me see if it's on the 3DS.
I mean, if it's going to be discounted by on PSN, that's probably where I'm gonna go. But
yeah, also it's not on 3DS. It's on the Wii U.
Well, I guess I have one of those now.
That's where, with the Pilot Wings game. Uh-huh. That's where I'm getting Shovel Knight on the Wii U. I could have gotten it on 3DS or PC, but I went Wii U.
Makes sense on the Wii U.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to use my plasma as much as possible, so I'll probably get it on the PlayStation.
Oh my god. Jamie, are you being electrocuted right now?
You shouldn't be hearing that. But yes, I do have alligator clips attached to my testicles.
Is that what happens when you're thinking about Dragon's Crown?
Yes.
Do you have a picture of the Dragon's Crown dwarf just on your desktop right now?
He's so hairy.
You guys, oh my god, I have the best idea. I'm going to burn into my plasma the Dragon's Crown splash.
Go into Morgan's magic shop and just sit there for hours.
It doesn't need to be hours. Literally, Jeff, on my new TV, if something is there for like 20 minutes, it will be there for like, I don't know, a few minutes.
Wow.
It'll be there. Like, the outline will be there. Griffin knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there were many New Year's with waking up in the morning to DJ Hero lines burned into my screen.
Yeah. They go away?
Yeah. Takes a little while. If it's really severe, like we literally left DJ Hero playing for like 8 hours straight.
Okay.
And like on a pause screen, essentially. So that's bad. it took about a week to get off completely, but it goes away. Like the plasma with burn-in, that's a thing of the 90s where, you know, you're like, don't scratch my nonstick Teflon frying pan. ruin it. Like, no.
I'm still thinking if and when I update my TV, I'm going to go plasma just because it's the best price. Although there was a 55-inch LG for like $700 today.
Nice, but I got my 60-inch plasma LG for $600.
Yeah.
So, nice. Wow.
That's awesome. Wait, for $600?
$600.
Holy snap.
60-inch LG 2013 smart TV from Micro Center. Micro Center is the best thing that ever happened to New Jersey.
Yeah, Micro Center is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care about smart TV, but that's amazing.
I walked into Micro Center, and I went to the I went to like the order online, pick up in store desk, and they had 20 of them already accounted for.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
Micro Center is the best.
Yeah, they're amazing.
I should just come back to New Jersey just to go to Micro Center.
It's really like, I'm upgrading from a 40-inch LCD to this 60-inch plasma, and it really makes a difference—a bigger difference than I thought. Like, it's freaking awesome. It's It feels like I'm playing literally different games.
Playing a movie.
I'm playing at the theater. I don't know. It's great.
I know what you're saying. It becomes really a completely different experience.
Yeah. You
guys are making me so jelly.
Get a big TV.
Just do it.
Griffin, did I tell you that I had actually ordered a 60-inch plasma?
Yeah, I remember this.
For $800, and I set up the delivery, and then I got cold feet and canceled the delivery.
Yes, yeah.
Interestingly, so I don't know if this is true, but so we're putting it in my car, right? And it'll fit. It fit in my mom's SUV, but it fit. It had to lie down.
Oh, and
that's like
fucked.
A no-no.
The guys in the who were delivering it were like, "Oh, you don't want to do that. It's gonna settle. It's gonna settle." And I'm like, "Well, I live only 35 minutes from here. It'll be fine." But it was like gnawing at me in the back of my mind the entire ride home. I drove so fast, but I opened it up and it was fine.
Did you?
Yeah, they wouldn't even let.
You should appease your conscience just the slightest amount by like propping it like a quarter inch off the ground. So it's just slightly at a different angle. You're like, well, it's probably okay. I bought myself another minute.
What's supposed to happen if you do that?
It blows up. No, I don't fucking know.
No, the glass cracks. That's what happens. Because the pressure, something about the way the pressure of the thing goes is the glass can crack. The guy at my Best Buy, which is literally like less than 5 minutes away from my house, would not let me load it into the car sideways. He was like, "No, man, you can't do this." I was like, just put it in the car. I don't care.
It's like, are you telling me in the life of this TV, like making its journey from like Korea to here, like that it never was on its side for more than 5 freaking seconds? Like, I don't, it's totally fine. So yeah, Jeff, if you live, I mean, I had like, there was traffic actually. So I had like 45 minutes. And it was totally, totally fine.
See, part of why I was able to get cold feet is because I scheduled a delivery.
Jimmy, now so you're really making me tempted to take my plasma, put it on the ground, on its back, and play games standing over it.
That's a
good idea. Oh, man. Yeah, it's totally, totally rad. Also, 3.5% sales tax at Micro Center. God. Also, like, additional awesome. Now it's less than Amazon. Like, also the TV itself is $1,000 on Amazon. Micro Center's crazy.
That's so cool.
They're insane. So yes, you should buy one, Jeff. Do it. If for games, especially, I don't know, Griffin. If you've, I mean, you probably have noticed this because you've sung the praises of plasma, but especially for games, just motion. It's just the detail is maintained better during motion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yes and no. I mean, we've got a LCD. What is it? Just standard LCD TV upstairs. That's like, I think, I don't know how big it is. And then I've got the plasma in the basement, and like, I don't like my games super dark because I can't see anything in the dark. So, I mean, I want like a plasma, LED like hybrid LCD hybrid where it's like you have the brightness of an LED but you also have the richness of the colors of a plasma.
Yeah.
You know, that's just it's, you can't have that. So you're right, like it is the unlimited power of the refresh rate of a plasma TV versus a, you know, a LCD TV like is better in theory. But I would also tell you, I was going to say this, Jimmy, I highly suggest you also dig into your TV settings and look into if there's a game mode or if you can toggle any of the power saver refresh things like that. I just started doing this in the past month. Oh my God, it makes such a difference.
So people. Actually, Axel always harps on this kind of input lag stuff. I never notice it. But so the first thing I did, I actually played Guacamelee. It was the first thing I played on my new plasma, and I didn't turn on game mode. And it was literally unplayable.
Wow.
Like
I would
press the button to jump and he would jump when I lifted my finger off the button.
Oh my
God. It was seconds. It wasn't milliseconds. It was seconds.
Jeez.
And I was like, I'm going to have to turn this. Luckily it has a great game mode and I turn that thing on and everything goes away. It's wonderful. The thing about my TV is, yeah, you're totally right, Griffin, about the colors, because when I am not in game mode, it's really vivid, and like it's really bright, actually. It's probably brighter than my LCD was, but my LCD was a budget LCD. It was never that great. But then I turn on game mode, and I turn the backlight up all the way, turn the contrast up all the way, and it's so dark. It's not dark in a bad way. I kind of like it. It's really rich. But it's definitely darker than the LCD got.
When you turn game mode on, it gets darker?
It gets darker.
Oh, that's bizarre. Yeah. That's the opposite for me.
Really? Huh. Yeah. Yeah, when I'm on just normal, like if I put it on standard, for example, it's much brighter than my old LCD was. But yeah, I don't. It's a quirky model. It's glass. It's not matte. It's got like the full glass screen on it.
I think all plasma screens are glass.
Oh, really?
Because
in the reviews for mine, people were like, "Oh, it's glass." So.
Oh, do you mean glossy versus matte?
No, well, it's not matte, but it's not gloss. It's literally like a piece of glass, as in like your girlfriend's MacBook Air screen. Like it's glass.
Okay. I had thought that all plasma panels were glass, but maybe
I thought that was the case too.
Oh, okay. I think
like you're talking
are.
Like when you put your fingernail on and you move it back and forth, it was like you're touching like exactly. A lenticular, you know, hologram.
You got it.
Yeah, I don't think that's a thing that people make anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
That
is something to think about though, because my old LCD is matte. Ooh. And if it's a bright room though, then I feel like matte is better because it doesn't reflect as much and it doesn't reflect as finely, whereas glass is like very detailed reflection.
I prefer matte screens even though they have some issues with a couple of things like viewing angles and I guess some color reproduction or something. I don't know. I like matte though. Matte is nice.
Get glass.
Get it, Jeff.
Get that glass.
I had it. It was in my hands.
What was the price of the one that you were going to buy?
$800 for 60 inches, but it was a Samsung. It was a nice one.
You have to buy mine. Buy it.
Here's the problem. I don't have enough. Like, in order to put it in, I would literally have to put my TV flat against the wall. And you know how my TV's like in the corner, right, Jamie?
Yes.
It'd be a little awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wouldn't be able to really angle. I don't know. I might try to, but.
Mine has a swivel stand.
That's cool.
It's amazing. You should buy it. Oh, wow. Spend your money. Join the club. Right now, Griffin and I are in a club that you're not in.
Ride the plasma train.
How big is your plasma, Griffin?
Like 55.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to go up to 60 because I'm ready for like giant console gaming, but I don't know.
Honestly, mine's probably a little too big. It's
oh, really?
55 would be the sweet spot, but I am... Six, like I was telling Jeff Griffin that like if I stand like 2 or 3 feet in front of my TV, it looks so bad. It
oh,
looks
really?
Like I can see like every little pixel, like the color gradations are so jarring.
Oh.
But the second you step more than 3 feet beyond, it looks so good.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll look into 55.
A slightly smaller. I mean, 60 is. No, Jeff, get a 60. Do it. Go big, man.
Get a Jumbotron.
Yeah.
Cover your entire closet with a Jumbotron.
Get two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. Do it.
Anyway, though, back to documents, just because. Hey, so EverQuest. EverQuest Next is announced, guys. All I know is there's a giant, and the giant is breaking down a building.
I saw a tiger man with a shield in a cave.
Griffin?
You guys like tiger men?
Your thoughts on tiger men, Griffin?
That is my favorite Pokemon.
Tiger men are an abomination.
Actually, tiger men is my favorite kaiju.
Your favorite what?
Kaiju.
Oh, you guys are referencing Pacific Rim.
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, so that's a thing. Also, did you guys see the Elder Scrolls Online video? Oh, is that wife cameo?
How much are we paying her for this cameo?
Hey,
did she kill him?
Was that a wife cameo?
Is she? Has she been sitting there this entire time? Oh, man.
Yeah, so have you guys seen the Elder Scrolls Online video?
That's no, I haven't. Rounds?
It actually looks not terrible now. It looked
good.
Terrible for the longest time. And
so what changed?
So first of all, you can play it in first person, which is such a small and seemingly insignificant change, but it actually makes a huge difference. And the third person isn't like the typical, it doesn't really look like WoW, which is the thing that's the most important to me. And it just kind of looks like Elder Scrolls Lite. Like it looks like Skyrim Lite and seems to play roughly like that, which looks okay to me. I don't know. I don't really play any MMOs, so I don't really know anything about it. But I was wondering if either of you had watched that video.
I had not. Are you disappointed that they're putting their efforts into this instead of a true sequel?
No.
I don't think they're actually. I think they have a different team working on it. So.
Oh, okay. That's
they
good.
Have like the Doubt guy is working on it, Matt Fyrion. Or
really?
Something. Yeah.
My Wait, favorite.
You guys actually like EverQuest? Stuff?
I loved it. Well, I loved. I love Doubt.
What?
We're talking Elder
Scrolls. Oh, sorry, Elder Scrolls.
That's okay.
Jeff was just saying that some Dauk guys are building the Skyrim Online, and I am excited about that because I loved that. That was my favorite MMORPG by far.
Yeah, you should watch
I'm
the
so
footage.
Sorry.
It actually looks pretty interesting. I mean, I still don't think I'll buy it, but it has like the compass from Skyrim. It feels like an exploration game from what they showed.
I'm so confused. Are you guys talking about EverQuest or Skyrim or Elder Scrolls?
We're talking about Elder Scrolls.
Why are you talking about Elder Scrolls? Nobody gives a shit about that game.
They just showed a video of it and it looked good.
The first person horse crap?
Yeah.
No. It looked like a bunch of nonsense.
Wait, are you talking about the latest video?
I'm sure. The one that they showed off at like E3, right? Where it was like crappy ass dudes running at each other, like fake Skyrim crap.
No, they showed it at QuakeCon.
Oh, okay, QuakeCon.
Yeah, you should watch it. It actually, I had already written it off, and I thought the game looked terrible, but it actually looked pretty fun in this video.
I wrote it off, and now I just wrote it off again.
Is this going to be a $15 a month game, or is this going to be a $60 one-time game?
I don't know.
It's going to be a free-to-play.
Are you...
Do you guys think that there will ever be a successful $15 a month Mamapager again?
No.
Yeah, no.
It's dead. even Blizzard, king of the MMORPG, have said, hey, you know that big thing we were going to do in the future that was going to be a monthly giant MMO thing and we were going to like strike lightning twice or whatever? Like, we're not doing that anymore. Everything's canceled. We've canceled it all.
Well, they're rebuilding it, quote unquote, as in the way that they rebuilt StarCraft Ghost.
And they've explicitly said it's not going to be a subscription pay monthly model.
Yeah, I think that type of game is like deader than Guitar Hero.
Hey, okay, this is I had this thought today, and speaking of weird, since Jamie has had a chance to do his weird pipe dream of video game design, here's what I was thinking about.
What?
Yeah.
I designed a game.
You did. It was brilliant.
Okay.
So you know how games cost like $60? This sounds now this is getting really bad in my head. So in game economy, like when you pay for a game and it's like or it's a free to play game and it's like, well, it's free to play, but if you want to buy these things you have to use real money, and then you get these in-game tokens and you can use that to buy other crap, like two currencies, one that you generate, one that you purchase, right? So what if that was brought to like a $60 release model? Like, what if a video game was designed such that it cost you $60 to purchase this free-to-play game, and you would deplete your $60 worth of currency, and then you could pay more money.
Dead Space? No. I think Dead Space 3 has microtransactions and costs $60.
Now, granted, that's a stupid idea because the only way that $60 would have any value in in-game currency would be is if there's a $0 model that you get no in-game currency.
Okay, so I see what you're saying. So you'd pay $60 and then you'd get like 300, space bucks.
Let's say 60 to make it simple.
Okay, so you'd get 60 space bucks and like every action costs one space buck.
Essentially, yeah.
Why would anyone ever buy that?
Because it's Call of Duty and you don't have any other choice.
I think that would actually work, Griffin. I actually think just having the $60 starting point would work.
God, I don't want that at all.
I don't want it either. I don't want it. It struck me as like the next subscription thing to do, where it's like you are essentially allotted a stipend, and depending on how much you want this game, you have to pay more into it. However, you're always still going to be able to play at a very simple, basic level, like maybe less than you want to. But
so after your $60 run out, you still can access the core game that doesn't have the bells and whistles. But
let's say you just get like a dollar a day. You get a buck a day or something after that.
Oh, okay, I see.
So you can still play a game.
Go on. It's like DLC, but not DLC.
I think I would, honestly, given the choice between that and a season pass, I'll take the season passes.
Sure.
Sounds awful.
I just kind of wanted to talk that out. I had that on my mind today, and I was like, you know, that is an incredibly evil way things could go. Yep. And I certainly hope they don't go that way.
I'm sure they could, though, because they got to do whatever they can. I mean, I think you guys were talking about DLC when I wasn't around because I went back and listened. And, like, all this stuff, they only do it because $60 isn't enough to make the big games profitable anymore.
Right.
They need to extract more money somehow. So.
Sadly.
That's really sad.
More collector's editions. More booby art books.
Yeah, why didn't we get a Sorcerer's figurine with melon semen on it?
Dude, that is completely crazy lost opportunity right there. Plus, it being an Atlas published game, like, I'm sure they would have thrown in some dumbass soundtrack or something.
Mm-hmm. Nope, just the art book. Yep. I mean, it's a nice art book. It has a nice smell to it.
But I mean, even it's like there was no super edition. It wasn't like,
like art.
The ultra fan edition where you get a pillowcase and you know, the a figurine of just boobs.
I don't know. I feel like Alice, they usually cut it off at like the comic book and the soundtrack. So
you get boxer shorts, a fake pizza box.
You can only get those from the capsule game. That you have to just play repeatedly.
Oh, speaking of dumb capsule games, Jamie, in college, have you ran across things like frackets? Have you ran across a fracket?
Do you know
what a fracket is, and is it a thing that people are into in the college mind space?
I have not come across it, and I don't know.
Oh.
Right, well. I have no idea. I'm sorry.
There we go.
It could be. See, it's like, I don't know what's going on at Rutgers. All I know what's going on is in my little corner of the weird graduate universe, which is even weirder than Snapchat. Exactly. So it could be popular. I don't know. Just the weirdest shit is popular where I am.
Well, I was just wondering if there's like bleed over, because I learned today about frackets, and frackets are Letterman's jackets, but for fraternities.
Okay, that is a thing. That is
gross. I thought it was fake.
Nope. Okay, so there's a lot of so in my profession, there's like the Medical Society of New Jersey, which is like the single professional association for doctors in the state of New Jersey, is essentially a frat. They have like frat letters, and a lot of state medical societies are named like Chi, Omega, We Hate Women, Alpha. And like, for example, if you are in the top 20% of your med school class in any med school across the nation, you are automatically in a frat, whether you like it or not, called AOA. And it's like, it's awful. So there's plenty of pictures online of kids who are like totally into that culture wearing their frat jackets, and like two of them combined will make like the frat symbol with their hands, and like it's not ironic.
Jesus,
it's bizarre.
I was not aware that frat jackets were a thing. I mean, it makes perfect sense, because why wouldn't it? It's awful, but
people love that shit. People need to feel like they're they're part of something. They're part of something that not everyone is a part of.
Yep.
That's a desperate need.
Speaking of being part of the club, so it was announced today that, or maybe yesterday, that you need to have Xbox Live Gold so you can do that video game DVRing. Does that come to a shock to anybody?
Nope. Not really. Yeah, right? Do we know yet if Sony is gating their game recording?
Nothing formally said yet, but you know, the NeoGAF Sony Defense Force is on red alert, like pulling anything they can say to like, no, they never explicitly said that they're going to charge it. So, you know, it would make sense. It just makes more sense that this is something that is, you know, paid for.
Yeah, I would say 50-50. I mean, we'll see what they do. Either way, I don't care because I just got a PSN card for $20, so I'm set to 2015. So I don't care. Screw you guys.
Dude, I'm set to 2015 too. It's the best feeling ever.
Yes.
I actually checked it on the PlayStation, and I just looked at the screen.
It's so hard to find. You have to go into transaction history and transaction go into services.
Order something.
I have like 8 different services, and one of them is like a game. It's like Bionic Commando, the service.
So, I guess the last thing we should probably talk about is, you know, I know we talked before jokingly that, you know, the Vita has been this, like, kind of like, I don't want to say scapegoat, but it's been this, like, Trojan horse of at events like, hey, we're going to tell you about Vita stuff. Oh, wait, no, it's just a trick. We'll tell you about something else that's way cooler. So if Gamescom is supposed to be about the Vita, like, what is it about the Vita that would do? What do you think is going could be said there if it is actually about the Vita that will kind of give this thing new life? And I also want bring this up too because of the Dragon's Crown, you know, split with Vita, PS3, like. Do you think this is going to cause a rise in sales in Vita? Do you think that not having it be cross-buy maybe kind of like some something or another? Can't talk anymore.
Oh, it will.
Ill
something. Yeah. I think that cross-buy is good to a point, but I feel like it's only good for people who already own both. I don't think cross-buy is going to entice people to buy a Vita because they could just buy it for the PS3.
Right.
Something that is appealing to me about owning a Vita and a PS4 in conjunction is that they've kind of hinted at the fact that if you have a Vita and a PS4, you essentially can do like what the Wii U can do, where you can beam your PS4 games to your Vita screen. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I don't trust that.
Well, they've said that all there's going to be support for remote play at like the OS level.
Don't
so it won't even happen. That's true. It is Sony. You can't really trust them.
They said that's how the PlayStation, the PSP was going to work with the PlayStation 3, and that did not.
Well,
How about this? a unique Who Are You to Deny Greatness trailer that you can only watch on the PlayStation 8.
I like that trailer. It's a good trailer. Yeah. No, actually, it is a little different this time, Griffin. The way they're implementing it doesn't put any onus on the developers. So it may be a little more feasible. So, Jamie, do you think if they offered, like, there is some rumbling that they might offer a bundle for, like, $500 that has both a Vita and a PS4. Is that something that you think could move Vitas or no?
Yeah.
You think so? As a companion device?
Disagree.
Yeah,
yes.
I disagree as well.
I don't know. For all I can talk about is me personally, right? And
yeah,
I'm probably a bigger sucker than you two combined. So, like, for example, when I saw the Move bundle, mm-hmm. I was like, man, I love the Move. No, I don't. But in my head, I was like, oh, with the Move, it's like an ice cream cone, and then you have a pet.
Dude, I would take a free Move.
You can pet the cone ice cream pet. I don't know. And so I feel like if they bundled it, it would be compelling to me just because I'm a giant sucker and because I'm banking on the fact that I'll be able to beam my games to my device there.
I do really like that idea of being able to, you know, do that streaming of games that's, you know, similar to the Wii U. I just don't believe it. Like, I'm sorry. I don't think it's going to happen.
I feel like even if it does happen, I do think it will happen in some capacity, and I think that it probably won't be as fluid as the Wii U is at close range. I think it can definitely happen. I think even if it does happen, though, I don't see it moving a lot of Vitas, because like playing your PS4 on a small screen in areas that you have wireless internet, it seems like a pretty niche market. Like, I don't know too many people who are like, oh man, I wish I could just sit down and play my PS4 in a hotel. Like, what market are they going for there? Like, I don't see it
appeals to me quite a bit, where it's like, I can go in my house, take my PSP upstairs, you know, away from theater room is, and then like be up with everybody else and play the same games up there while, you know, we're watching TV or doing whatever, or like I could be on the toilet or something playing the game and be away from the screen, like Apple TV model.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true, because I've been playing my Wii U a lot recently. I finished up Mario New Super Mario Brothers U, and I'm playing some Earthbound, and I do really enjoy like the off TV feature, like Jessica can watch Netflix while I play something on the Wii U. Mm-hmm. I just don't see a device that only functions as a companion device. I see it as a useful bullet point, but I don't see it as a way to really bring it back.
The NVIDIA Shield, right? You can beam your NVIDIA-powered PC to your NVIDIA Shield. That to me is pretty cool, because I can play my PC games on my Shield outside, on the deck. That's cool to me. And like, so let me ask you guys this. Why are all these companies doing this? Like, why did they
choose second screen experience equals money.
Maybe they're like us and they're like, whoa, that's so cool. But they don't realize that it doesn't really hold a lot of mass market appeal. Yeah.
That's actually probably the most brilliant explanation of it.
What do you guys think about the Shield? I mean, we should finish talking about the Vita, but maybe after that we can talk about the Shield for a second or two.
Don't give a fuck.
Let's touch on the Shield real quick, and then we can maybe go back to the Vita.
Okay. So its selling points are that it has a 720p screen, which isn't it, and then it has the real controller in it, and then it has the Tegra 4, which is – it's the first device to have the Tegra 4.
Yes.
And it does the beaming. And to me, the most compelling feature is the beaming. Mm-hmm. Jeff, would you be interested in a Tegra 4 device?
No. I actually played with one at PAX, and I thought, this is stupid and it's not going to sell anything.
So wait, it's a fancy shitty phone that has a kind of shitty screen on it.
So here's the thing. It's like the Android part of it doesn't appeal to me at all, because Android's not made for controllers. It's made for touch. Like, it's not. If you want to play games that use controllers, use a different operating system, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the beaming part is pretty cool, but I don't know.
I feel like companies literally aren't thinking about what you just said, Jeff. Like, remember we were talking about the $100 Dell HDMI computer that runs on Android that goes into your TV, but like, Android isn't designed for anything close to a TV.
Yeah, like Google TV is a better product than that, and you know, like, that's not even a great product.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't get it. Like, why do you want to put Android on anything that doesn't have a touchscreen and that you can hold in your hands? But, you know, so, people will do that stuff.
At the movie theater that I go to, they had a stand set up, an NVIDIA Shield stand.
Oh, for real?
And there were two guys there, and they were taking pre-orders, and they had a unit out, and you could play with it. And actually, at Micro Center, there's also a unit out.
Oh, wow.
So they're marketing it pretty hard.
Did you try it?
No, I didn't try it at the movie theater. And the unit at Micro Center is like behind glass.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
You should give it a shot, because the thing I played was not final. So I don't know. Maybe it's better than it seemed.
How did the controls feel to you? Because it's like sunken, right? It's like sunken in.
It didn't feel that great. And that's kind of lives and dies on that. Also, it's a really ugly, bulky piece of hardware. And if the Sega Nomad is any indication, I just don't see it doing... I don't think a big, bulky, portable...
It looks like what a 13-year-old would think, like, a hacker's thing would look like.
It looks like a mock-up. It looks like a mock-up of, like, the next 3DS. Like this the sequel to the 3DS done by some shitty internet artist. Oh man.
Yeah, so yeah, we all agree. I mean, I'm not really interested
in that. It sounds like a gimmick, you know, like they jump on the Me Too, like let's do this second screen experience thing, get this crap in other people's faces.
Yeah. Like where is the content? Like where is the unique Android controller supported content going to come from? Because it's not going to get a lot of market penetration, and like who wants to build their game with controller support anyway?
And as we've discussed on this podcast, consoles, handhelds, so on and so forth, they don't benefit from being on the bleeding edge of tech. They benefit, if anything, from being slightly behind the curve.
Yeah.
So it's like, if your major selling point is the Tegra 4, in 6 months when the Tegra 27 is out, like, who would want to buy your piece of crap?
Yeah, well, I mean, NVIDIA made the Tegra 4, so.
Yeah.
You know, they have some claim there. But yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah. So Vita. So.
So the second screen thing isn't going to do it for anybody.
No. I love the indie games. I think it'd be better if some of them were just coming to Vita. Yeah. I think it's hurt by the fact that they're coming to both platforms, even though it's really cool and interesting. Like, if Lone Survivor is probably not big enough, but like, I don't know. Like, the things that get me excited about playing my Vita are Spelunky coming to Vita, even though I'm going to buy it for PC as well, because I'm a major tool. Lone Survivor coming to Vita, which I've already played on PC. Just like cool
Galaxy.
Little small.
Yeah.
Galaxy.
Galaxy.
Tell me about that.
It's like a twin stick shooter done by 17-bit dudes that did Skulls of the Shogun.
And oh, nice.
It looks awesome. Like,
I'm excited about that.
I don't know. Looks like really, really awesome drunken missile shooting, flying in space, dodging. Just
sounds
like
great.
Kind of back to the basics of twin stick shooters, but
yeah,
made a bazillion.
Then there's like
better.
Luft Trousers, the Vlambeer game, the guys who did Ridiculous Fishing.
Yeah,
a bunch of cool games. So I'm most excited about like small titles. Like I think they need to go back to. I think the problem with the Vita is they expected people to do like big budget games for a portable console, and nobody wants to do that. Like people want to do small. Safe titles, like right. Maybe not safe, but like small, quirky little titles, you know, that wouldn't work on another platform.
Well,
and I think that's
it is kind of interesting that kind of okay. So the two companies that have handhelds out there are Sony and Nintendo, and Sony is notorious for providing a highly or like an extremely powerful machine with vast capabilities. But it also, you know, kind of is a little too ambitious for its own good. Whereas the Nintendo side of it is like, okay, low end, focus more on specific interactions and on like, you know, the usability side of it. And now that kind of works in either's disfavor for like,
yeah,
you know, the 3DS does so well because it is so simple, because it embraces like, a touchpad, a single touchpad, like a cool, like it's portable, like it's not powerful, as Jamie said, like it has that kind of like limited functionality of it, and the Wii and Wii U are kind of in the same boat, and then you know PS3 and the Vita, you have an overpowered device that is being underutilized because why have that?
Yeah, I think that I do though like. Certain Vita titles like Tearaway and also Gravity Rush and even to some extent Uncharted, they to me showed me that certain elements of the Vita like could be cool in games. Like gyro aiming, actually, I thought it was going to be terrible, but in both Gravity Rush and Uncharted, I came to absolutely love it, especially when it's used as a complement to analog aiming.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that having like that kind of shit in the game, using the gyro function, even the rear touchpad can have its place. Like it seems to be well implemented in Tearaway. I just think they need some interesting IP that maybe don't break the bank, but like are cool and play to the quirks and the strengths of the Vita. You know, like you don't have to push the hardware; just make nice use of the screen. Give me some cool, crisp-looking games, you know, with a nice little hook. Give me a small little indie game ported from the PC, you know. Just stuff like that would get me on board. I think it would like it would cause there'd be a steady trickle of hardware, which I think is like the most they can hope for.
Isn't that already the case though? Like, isn't there already a steady trickle of software coming up for it? Or is that inaccurate?
Yeah, no, that's what they're starting. I'm actually pretty encouraged by what they're doing right now, generally, even though I don't know how well it's going to. I don't know.
Do you guys know the story behind the Ridiculous Fishing game and that those guys who made it?
Yeah, about and how the they got copywriting.
Yeah, the copyrighted stuff. So Polygon did a great video on them. And in that video, they were like, we initially – this was a couple months ago. We initially didn't consider doing development for Sony, Nintendo, or Microsoft. But if we could make games in a more rarefied environment where we might be shielded from this kind of bullshit, that would be very compelling for us. So it's almost like people are turning away from mobile just because it's such a sea of crap, and going for the Vita because their game will be highlighted and you know, it'll be the only type of game like that on there. There won't be 30 clones of it within an hour of them publishing the game.
Like I said, the software attach rate on the Vita is like insanely high. It's like 10 titles, which is like unheard of.
So, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, games, when you give them all away for free too, that helps.
Well, no, like some games will have like their best sales of any platform on the Vita, which is ridiculous because the user base is small. But some indie titles have posted their best sales on Vita.
Huh.
I think Retro City Rampage might have sold better on Vita than any other platform.
Odd.
Weird. Yeah.
It's great on Vita. It's really fun to play. Love that
When's
game.
That price start?
Is it?
I don't know.
Sorry, Griffin.
So what do you think, Griffin? What do you think the Vita could use to come back from the brink?
I don't know. I was hoping we could kind of discover this together. Because I don't know if there is too much that can happen to it, you know.
I want an Apple-ish redesign.
<That'd be cool. laughs>
I want an Apple bottom redesign.
They need to cut the prices on their freaking memory cards. It's $100 for a 32 gigabyte card.
Yeah, that's I guess insane. I didn't think about that's why I didn't buy one to begin with, because of that bald-faced lie from Sony.
And they could have just used SD cards. Literally, their stupid standard is super slow in terms of read-write speeds.
Wow.
So it just has nothing going for it. Yeah.
I would probably have a Vita right now because the only thing that didn't make me go and like enjoy that day one fever was that memory card debacle that they did.
Yeah. The thing is, I think that the Wii U is more dead in the water right now than the Vita. So I don't really think the Vita has to worry about.
I disagree. I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that the Wii U has some big tentpole titles coming up. And potential. Like,
I guess, yeah.
You always have that glimmer of hope of like, well, there'll be a Zelda someday. There'll be that game that I actually want someday. Whereas the Vita, it's like, what is on the horizon? Killzone Mercenaries? What's a big thing that's going to push sales and be like the next big Vita-only game?
Announce Gravity Rush 2. That's not going to sell Vitas, but that game was so good.
They're finally bundling it with a game. So now you can pay $250 and not just get the thing. You can get The Walking Dead. Plus 400 days.
Well, I mean, during last year on the Black Friday sales, I thought there was that Assassin's Creed edition that dropped down to like $179, and I kicked myself for not getting that.
Yeah, because it's I don't know. A real coup would be if they could get like Monster Hunter 4. I think it would come back in Japan, then it would be a presence on store shelves in the U.S. at the very least.
Right, and if it was moving units in Japan, then people would be more apt to develop, you know, games on it. Okay, there is that one game with the Gantz like game where it's like dudes with numbers on their heads that are dead and they live in this other world, and you know what I'm talking about.
Devil Survivor?
No, it's not out yet. It's like very anime-ish giant monsters, Japanese dudes with rocket launchers and guns coming
Attack
up for the
Attack on Titan.
I don't know.
Oh, Freedom. Freedom Wars.
Yeah.
That looks really cool.
It looks really cool.
In terms of who's more dead in the water, PS Vita or Wii U, I feel like every time I look at any video game website, there's some new story about how some executive is like, we don't like the Wii U. But there's no one, no company ever says, like, we don't like the Vita. We're not going to make games for it. I feel like
they might not even be talking about it, though. Yeah,
maybe that's true.
Yeah, I'd say both are in poor shape.
I did have a moment today where when I was watching the Nintendo Direct and they were showing off that Smash Bros. Crap, I was like, I could watch this all day. Like, hey Nintendo, you want to start drumming up excitement for your system? Just 24/7 Smash Bros. That's all I need. Like, if that really got pipelined into me, into my brain, I'd be like, fine, I'll buy one.
Those screens weren't really doing it for me. They were just like, okay, Smash Brothers.
Okay, well.
What about this as an ad campaign for Smash Brothers? Smash Bros. Before Smash Hose. What do you guys think? Good?
I bought it.
Okay.
Already tattooed.
Yeah, I don't know. That didn't really excite me. And I really love Smash Brothers, so I don't know.
Huh. I don't like Smash Brothers, but I loved watching those
little things. Screens.
Yeah, I was like, man, I could buy a Vita for this, or I could buy a Vita for this. I could buy a Wii U for this.
I just want them to. They just need to put out some games like immediately. It's so sad when like they're like, "Hey, Art Academy, please stay tuned for Art Academy."
We are thinking about adding a teaching art sub game to the Art Academy.
It's so sad. It's like, just make some games. Just finish them.
I think it seems like Nintendo is basing their design decisions on the Wii U on like the applause meter. And that's not an accurate measurement of how interested people are in things.
It seems like they're releasing their consoles a year and a half too early, just over and over again.
And on top of that, you know, they have this, like, it's just throw Mario at the problem.
Yeah, they didn't used to whore out Mario this much.
No, not at all.
This is a recent development.
Yeah, they pulled the Square Enix today with, like, the, you know, break glass in case of emergency. Here's Final Fantasy VII Remake. But they're like, nope, no. Mario 3, Super Mario Brothers 3 on Virtual Console. You guys ready now?
They didn't spend that long on that. They were just like, here it is. And it was coming to 3DS, not Wii U. So that was okay.
I still feel like that was a weird decision to be made.
They make so many weird decisions over there. They spent time on talking about how Donkey Kong NES was coming to 3DS this month. And they even threw in a barrel roll joke.
It's the year of the year of Luigi.
Yes, it is.
Just take your damn engines and just drive them to the ground like everyone else is doing. Learn something. Well, I should have at least 3 Donkey Kong new games right now. They should have, like, at launch, there should have been a Donkey Kong Country Returns 2 game. That's just the same goddamn engine with more Donkey Kong.
I think they need to dig further into their back catalog. I think what they're doing, it's sort of like an accordion where, like, if you look at the ends of the accordion, the two opposite ends look the same, and that's like Nintendo's past and Nintendo's far future. But right,
I think I'm having an aneurysm. Go on.
right in the middle, like their recent past and their recent future look identical. So like their recent past, Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Jeff, you've been watching a lot of Lost lately, haven't you?
Their recent past, Donkey Kong Country Returns.
We have to go back. We have to go back.
Jessica just watched that episode, actually. And their recent future, it's like Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Now we have to go back again.
They did like basically 2 consecutive 3D Land titles. Like, they need to mix it up a little. Bring back 3D Land later. Like, it's just too much sameness all in one block.
Yeah. Well, when you don't have third parties to pad out those spells between your major releases, what do you do besides keep releasing the same shit over and over again?
I don't know. Yeah, their back is against the wall, and they were just not ready at all.
We need
for this
more match. Replays.
It's just an abomination that they have another one of those coming out.
They're going to need to put out a black Wii U or something. Or they have that already. A blue Wii U. Something. Something so that you and I will buy it again, Jeff. That's how they're going to sell consoles.
A Pikachu Wii U.
A Pikachu Whoa. Wii U. Yeah,
it's sad.
What do you guys think is a fair price for the Wii U? Like, honestly, like, not thinking about the future, thinking about, like, right now, you want to play Pikmin 3, maybe you want to play New Super Mario Bros. Wii U. Like, what is a good price?
I don't understand the question because, like, are you saying what is the fair price based on how much would I pay for a thing to play those games that are out right
yes,
now?
Exactly.
Nothing, because I don't want to play those games that are out right now.
I would say
so. It is worth less.
I would say $250 would have been a better launching price, but maybe not feasible. They're still losing money on every Wii U sold. Did you know that?
I did not.
That's
they just
dumb.
Announced that like today.
Wow.
It's sad. And the company that makes like one of their custom components is going to go out of business, or their factory is closing in 2 years. So they're probably still going to be losing money in 2 years on this thing.
Yikes.
It's a disaster for them. It's really sad. Hmm. But, you know, I mean, there was just an article on IGN. They're like, by the way, they have $85 billion in cash. So don't feel too bad for them.
Right.
But it does kind of suck because I know the Wii U can have interesting experiences because, like, Zombie U was cool. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know, other stuff is cool. I'm enjoying the stuff that I play on it, but there's just, like, nothing.
They're not good at, like, letting us know that they know what's up and they're working hard. Like, they hired more people to make more games, but that's it. That's the most promising news I've heard from them.
Yeah.
We hired people.
They're, like, the least responsive of all the companies out there in terms of how they react to people's just like how they react to people asking from other three, just utter silence.
Their ivory tower. They have like this weird dual like existence where they'll like Miyamoto will be in a Mega 64 video and yet they can't like respond to criticism. Like
it's so Japanese.
Yeah. Yet they're like, what is YouTube?
What is this Evo tournament? Did you guys hear this? How they almost had Smash Brothers pulled from Evo?
Yeah.
And I did, like, not.
What are you doing?
Why did they do what?
I think the same reason they wanted to monetize their YouTube shit.
It's still monetized, Jeff. I still get blocked on my stuff.
Oh, for real?
Well, I don't get blocked. It gets pinged for third party content.
Okay. Yeah. That's a bummer. They're like, we own that. Don't use it for anything else.
They're so weird. I wanted to find a stand for the Wii U, just a stand, not for the controller, for the actual console, a stand. And there are, as you know, Jeff, on the console, on the Wii U itself, there are like little things that are clearly for a stand.
Yeah, I have.
You have the stand?
It came with the deluxe version.
Oh, okay. Well, since I bought the basic version, you cannot find the stand in the United States. I looked into this. It is nowhere.
I'm going to look for it real quick for you.
But like just that kind of thing. It's like, why? Why can't I find a stand?
I don't know.
Are you telling me that the company that did the Circle Pad Pro may make weird decisions?
Can I just say also, just apropos of nothing, that the circle pad, I prefer circle pads to analog sticks.
I hate that circle pad.
How do you hate circle pads?
It's just mushy. It's like
there's nothing to push.
I don't
you
like
don't
it.
Consider,
I don't like
you
it.
You don't consider the Vita thing a circle pad, do you, Jeff?
No,
they're adorable little deep sticks.
I like the analog sticks okay, but I much prefer the circle pad. I think the circle pad is. You guys don't like it?
No.
What's wrong with it? It's so good.
I was playing Prince of Persia: Sands of Time on the Xbox One, as in not O N E, just the one, like one.
The one true Xbox.
The one true Xbox, and I was playing it with a fatty, like the original.
Oh,
three,
so lucky. The
Xbox
Duke?
One. The Duke. That thing is ridiculous.
That's the name of the controller.
Dude. I love that controller.
Yeah. Controller, yeah. Okay.
That is one
that
of my.
That thing is.
It just fits. It fits my hands.
No, it doesn't. Do you remember how there are two? So there's two analog sticks on that thing, and they have different like feels. Like one is like different than the other. It's so stupid. Like it felt like they almost had different resistances.
Well, yeah. I mean, the buttons are in awful positions. But I mean, I think that controllers need to be bigger. or, you know, something, because I need a larger controller. Like, my fingers wrap. I don't have anything to grip on most modern controllers.
Mm. So Jeff just found the stand.
Yeah, I just found the Wii U stand. It's not easy to find, though. This is the same place that
How many years of Club Nintendo do you need to be a part of to have access to the stand?
You need many. This is the same place I found my 3DS XL charging cradle. It's the only place you can get it.
Oh, man. Do you think that they would ever consider abandoning a console or throw in the towel, or are they not capable of that?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
It'd be throwing away a lot of resources and money and development.
Well, it seems like, I mean, I was reading an article today about the guy who was head of marketing for Sega at the time in 2001 when they decided to throw in the towel with the Dreamcast. And it seems like they had a very different mentality than Nintendo. Their mentality was, this is fun, we're going to try it. And I feel like Nintendo was just like, we took a bunch of mushrooms and we're going to put this thing out. But I feel like in that article, it just sounded like they just knew. They knew that they were beat, and they threw in the towel, and they decided to go out almost gracefully rather than just drag it out.
I would like to point you to a great afternoon of YouTube videos of the Sega Dreamcast advertisements in Japan, where it is the president of Sega going around to different people's houses and like begging them to like Sega games. He'll be walking across the street and like he'll hear kids talking about how they don't like Sega anymore, and he's just like, oh, and he has this nightmare of like kids yelling at him about how much Sega sucks now. And at the end of it, it's like he's just like, please buy our games. It's all in Japanese. They are amazing, amazing, amazing. He was on the Dreamcast box. Like, part of the box was just his face looking like somebody caught him walking out of an adult bookstore. Like, it is beautiful. And I mentioned Sega Gaga earlier today, but please go look at that. Like, you're right. Oh, Sega knew that that ship was sinking. Sega Gaga is an amazing video game that I wish would get localized and somehow brought over to America, but it won't. And it was essentially, Sega is dying, and it needs you to be the new president. So you run the game.
Oh my God.
You run the company, but you're also going through like an RPG-style thing where you're fighting different Sega mascots.
Oh, that's incredible.
It is an amazing game.
When you first said that, I thought it was like a Sega-Lady Gaga combo deal.
Nope, Sega-Gaga.
I thought it was like Blizzaga, except Sega-Gaga.
Sega-Gaga.
I was going to say, I think that for the Wii U, what they do if it's not selling is they just don't make very many more. And then they just slowly clear out that inventory and work through whatever pipeline they've got and keep cutting that price.
I think Nintendo's already proven they have a solution, and that's cut the price and focus on it. Because they did that with the 3DS, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's the best-selling thing ever.
Yeah.
So,
unfortunately, though, they're still losing a lot of money on the, or there's not a lot of money, but they're still losing money on the Wii U. So I don't know how feasible price cut is right now. But that's what they should do, yeah. But I don't know. They might not be able to.
Yeah. Well.
But yeah, we'll see. I think they can weather it for quite a while. They're not like Sega.
Hey, I have an
Sega
idea. Subscription model.
No. Nintendo Plus.
Nintendo World.
It's not good enough to merit subscribing at all. Yeah, I think they have enough resources to weather the storm for a long time. And I think it would hurt them more to pull out completely now than it would to stay in the game, just do kind of bad for a while.
Yep.
Honestly. They are not anything like Sega was when they put the Dreamcast out. So.
Agreed.
And they don't hold the kind of debts that Microsoft or Sony do in their games divisions. So.
No, they don't. They like operate on a whole other level. They don't think about things the same way.
No. Not at all. So,
well, they're like the one true games company that is a video game console developer and video game, you know, developer, like software developer, all in one.
And
nothing else exists like that.
Yeah.
I feel like they're almost like they're like
Blue Ocean for life.
They're like children. Like, they can't think 6 months ahead. They just do the thing.
Can I also just say that I really want another Endless Ocean game?
Oh, yeah. That was cool. Just swim.
Endless Ocean. Have you played it, Griffin?
No.
Oh, it's so fun.
Is it fun? Is that how you define fun?
It's really fun. It's an exploration game.
It is fun, Griffin. I went to the Nintendo store a couple years ago, not expecting to care at all, and I think I stood there for like an hour playing that game.
It is like it brings you to a trance-like state.
It's almost like what you guys talk about, how you talk about Animal Crossing. It's like things that shouldn't get you excited are getting you excited. Like, I saw a fish.
Okay, I've got this. Not... I've got it for you. This you can have the same experience. All you need is an Xbox 360 and the indie channel, and the games in there aren't worth playing. But the game, it's a meta game where you go into the indie channel and you're like sifting through the garbage, and then you hit the zen-like state where you find some good ones, and you're like, oh man, like I'm just gonna keep looking and keep playing this shit until I find "Don't Steal My Cheerios, Cat" game. That was the next one like that.
I don't know. You really have to give it a shot because it really it's like it's kind of like Animal Crossing, like Jamie said, in that by all means it shouldn't be that fun, but it's not. It's like one of those games that has like Zynga elements, but it's not. It doesn't feel soulless or evil. It has like a heart. It has like a soul. It has love and care that went into its development, and it actually it like comes through so much that you just have to love it. And it really, I don't know, I really enjoyed what I played of it. Jessica played a lot more than I did, but it's just like a giant ocean that you get to explore and find cool shit in. Like, I don't know, that sounds pretty fun to me.
Yeah, fish.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I want it.
Well, speaking of that dead silence there signals the end of the episode. We're at 2 hours, I think that's a good point.
Okay.
I mean, unless you guys want a thing or two to slide in there before we go.
Dragon's Crown.
I'd like to slide a thing or two into the Sorceress.
That's right. Yes. Go get that. Go get your art.
I want to play Two Brothers, but I can't.
Double Brothers.
Because it's not out on my system.
What is Two Brothers?
Two Brothers, what is it? Oh, it's called Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it at the beginning.
I mentioned it at the beginning. It is $15. It is on the XBLA. And it is... remember that part, Griffin, in Ni No Kuni where you control two characters at once, one using both analog sticks?
Uh-huh.
It's that.
Oh, so it's that lobster game.
What?
There's that game where you play as the two things moving separately, but you have to work cooperatively to collect the things. It's like
pretty much.
It's like,
oh, was it for PS2?
No, it's for Xbox Live Arcade.
Okay.
Or Ikaruga, played by one person with two ships.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like that, but it's all purdy, and it's touching. Because right. it's about humans.
Do you think that at some point in the game you only play as one brother?
No.
Boom.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to that. That's it. That's all I want to say.
I wish that Xbox games didn't have such lengthy exclusivity windows. They're always so damn long.
Go get an Xbox.
No.
All right.
I made it through the entire generation without one.
You could be playing Viva Pinata.
That is one game. That is like the one game that I would play on the Xbox right now that I don't have access to elsewhere.
You should do it. No. Pinata.
No.
Filled with fun.
They refreshed the system. Every time they do that, I'm like, oh my god, it's even sexier than before.
But they didn't really change anything.
Well, the second gen, the Slim, kind of has like a concave thing going on the front.
Yep.
This one's just sleek.
I like the concave one better.
This looks like a cable box.
They cost the same. They cost the same amount of money. There's no appreciable difference between them.
You like Comcast?
I'll take the concave one.
The concave one is sexy. It's just, do you want capacitive or non-capacitive?
Can I tell you guys what happened when I called Fios? I want to tell Griffin really quickly before we leave.
Okay.
So Griffin, I called Fios because I was getting a new TV and I wanted to get a new cable box. So I called Fios, and the guy's like, Let me tell you something, sir. I almost fell out of my seat when I saw how much money you were spending with us and how little service you were getting. And I was like, okay. And he's like, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to repackage all your channels, give you every movie channel that we have, and I'm going to give you Fios Quantum, which will give you 75 up, 35 down.
Wow.
And I'm going to cut $100 off your bill, off your monthly bill. And I was like, okay. And he's like, I'm going to start it today. I'm like, okay. So like, what? I don't understand. Why are you giving me all this for free? And he's like, cause you're a valued customer. So now for 2 years, I have Fios Quantum and I have like every movie channel ever. And it's just because I called them.
So much porn.
What is happening on the East Coast, man?
I don't know.
Things are cheap. People are nice. What's happening out there?
Okay, so I asked him straight up. I was like, why? Because why are you doing this? And he said, because in my area, it's really...
I cannot fathom.
why are you doing this? He said, in our area, we've got Comcast. We've got Time Warner. It's really competitive. So instead of letting the two-year teaser rates expire, they just rebundle them. So you always have the two-year teaser rates.
Meanwhile, I pay $50 a month for my 12 megabit connection. That's all.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Same here.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. So
for
I had to
living
buy
in populated
new
areas.
Yeah, you jerk.
This guy was way too happy. It was insane. I'm sure he was some Indian guy who was just faking like a Virginia accent.
Highly advanced.
Well,
all right, sorry for the detour.
You should be. Instead, use your fancy internet connection to go download Dragon's Crown and get on it and get it on.
I will.
All right. Jeff and Jamie, thanks again. This has been fun. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Later.
See ya.